Hello, Tiger Nation. I am Byron Hulsey, headmaster at Woodbury Forest School, and I would like to welcome you to the Woodbury podcast series. This podcast consists of informal yet substantive conversations with alumni, faculty, staff, and students. The conversations explore how Woodbury's core values empowered alumni to build a solid foundation for their lives, how those core values are taught today by Woodbury teachers, and how those values are put into practice by today's students. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Woodbury Podcast. Delighted today to have Mike Guevara with us. Mike hails from Mexico City. He's a sixth former. Mike is our senior prefect this year. Mike, it's great to have you. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Hulsey. I'm super excited.
Well, you're good to give us a bit of time here. Your Woodbury career is winding down. We'll get to that here momentarily, but let's just start with how you grew up, where you grew up, what being a boy was like for you, and how you found Woodbury.
So I grew up in Mexico City, grew up with my dad, my mom, and my sister. It was awesome growing up in Mexico City because it's such a chaotic place. There's always something going on. There's always traffic, there's something always interesting in the news, and yeah, I loved growing up there.
Is your sister older or younger?
My sister is younger than me. She's 17 years old.
Uh-huh.
When we were young, we used to fight a lot, but I think as we've grown, I think we've started to have a better relationship and less fights going on.
So less conflict as you've gotten older?
Yeah, and also coming to boarding school was also a bonding experience for both of us, because it was the first. When I came to boarding school, she also went to boarding school.
Yeah.
She went to boarding school in Garrison Forest, which is in Maryland.
Yes.
She went as an eighth grader, and I was here as a 10th grader, which is very different. She only stayed there for a year and then decided to go back home to Mexico. Yeah, coming to boarding school was the first time that I did not have my sister, and that was something, it was kind of a shock. So we started texting each other a lot. We got on phone calls, and I would say that our relationship has become stronger throughout the years.
Yeah, interesting. So I've often heard from Woodbury boys that their relationships with their family, with in your case it's a sister, but also with their parents, get stronger when they come to Woodbury. And I've also heard some parents say the same thing, you know, that their relationship with their kids gets stronger when they go to boarding school. You might think it's the reverse, but has that been the case for you? You say it has been with your sister. What about for your parents?
Yeah, definitely. Before coming to Woodbury, I would say I was in my peak teenage years. And I was in those years in which you want to fight about everything. You always want to be fighting against your parents. So before coming to boarding school, I was kind of a mess, but my relationship with my parents was a little bit tense. And then when I came here, I really valued how much they love me and how much they care for me. Yeah, I would say that my relationship with them has gotten stronger, and I text them more whenever I have time, and whenever I see them, it's the best thing ever. I think that you only realize what you have until you lose it, so
Yeah. Once
you come here, and you're like, wow, my parents really, really love me, so yeah, I have to work on my relationship with them.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's go back to how you found Woodbury and why you wanted to come.
My original plan was to go to another country in ninth grade, but I couldn't do that because of COVID. There were a lot of COVID restrictions, so I just stayed in Mexico and took online classes. It was not the best. Thought about just staying in Mexico for the rest of my high school career and just keep going on, but one day my dad told me, hey, I found this lady, and she's telling me that there's an opportunity for you to go to another school in another country. Would you like to talk? Would you like to do this? And at the beginning, I was kind of hesitant because I feel like in 10th grade, I already had like a solid friend group back at home. I was growing up and I was pretty comfortable. I was like, you know what? I think this can be a life-changing experience, which has been. So I just said, yeah, let's go for it. So we found a lady that sends Mexican students abroad. She did like a profile on me. And she thought I was going to be a good fit for Woodbury, so here I am.
Oh, that's cool. And when you first came, if I'm remembering correctly, you interviewed on Zoom.
Yeah.
So when you first came as a new boy and rolled up on the campus, that was your first time to to be on the 1,200 acres here in the Tiger Nation. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is very accurate. And I actually missed my first interview because I forgot about the time zone change. Yeah. So I was already stressed about it. When we came here, it was a very emotional moment because we were also a little bit sad that because we had just left my sister in Garrison
A
day before.
Oh, my goodness. So your parents did the twofer.
Yeah, so we it was a very emotional trip and arriving here. And
yeah.
There were a lot of emotions going on.
Oh, I bet. Man, that must have been really hard on your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
They were probably wrung out when they left here, just a mess.
They say that it was not a difficult moment for them, but I bet it was. I bet it was.
I bet it was, too.
Yeah.
Well, what was it like being a new boy here, especially an international student from Mexico City?
The first 2 months are, I would not say hard, but I was very, very tired the first 2 months. I mean, first of all, I was living in another language. I was living the first time out of my home. I think I had this mindset of survival mode. It's just go, wake up and do this thing and go this thing. And Woodbury's schedule is very, very tight. So I was just moving from place to place. When I first saw my parents during Thanksgiving, and I came back to Woodbury, I think that was the first time when I felt the homesickness.
Ah, right.
Because I came back and I was like, now I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
The first 2 months, it was just go. And then I came back. Being a new boy here was really good experience. I had a great roommate, Hunter Human. My hall was really good. And I really enjoyed it, being a new boy here.
Yeah. Was the academic transition challenging for you?
It was a little bit, not because of the content that I was seeing, but because of the schedule that I was following. Because during COVID, during online classes, I got to confess, I was a mess with my schedule. So I would go to bed really, really late. I would basically live during the night and sleep during the day.
Yeah.
So coming to Woodbury, where there's lights out, there's a schedule that you need to follow, you got to go to classes at this time. That was probably the hardest part for me.
Right. And that first half the year we were wearing masks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still felt kind of weird.
Yeah, wearing a mask, I'm not the biggest fan of it.
No,
me either. You gotta do it.
Gotta do what you gotta do. What afternoon activities did you do in your first year at Woodbury?
In my first year, I played football during the fall, then I wrestled during the winter, and I did track in the spring.
Yeah. What would you say about those choices and, you know, not just what they might have done for you as an athlete, but what they did for you in terms of just kind of getting to know the community and the culture here?
Playing football, JV football, was a really awesome experience because it allowed me to meet a lot of my classmates. Because a lot of almost, I would say, like 40, 54 formers were playing. So it was awesome getting to know everyone, going to the games, having practices, meeting Mr. Alexander. He was our head coach, Mrs. Mills also. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good experience in that aspect. For the winter, I've always played basketball in my life, during my whole life. But I was like, you know what, let me try something new. Caden Sanchez convinced me to try wrestling, and I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. Yeah, I mean, wrestling changed my life. It was such a hard sport, but the brotherhood and the bonds that you create in that sport have become life-changing. So I'm really grateful for it. Doing track in the spring, I discovered a passion for running. I really enjoy running. I often go for runs here at Woodbury. It's three really important sports in my life.
So the first year ends, you come back. What did it feel like to be a returning old boy as a fifth former? Did you feel more comfortable?
Yes, totally. And I already had an idea of the classes I wanted to take, the sports I wanted to do. And I would say I work really, really hard on my grades fifth form year, so I really focus on academics on my fifth form year. Because I was already settled in with my friend group and all of that. Yeah, junior year was cool living in Dowd Finch with most of my class. I created a lot of good relationships, so that's where I made Tate. He was almost my neighbor.
Oh, really? You were up there in Upper?
Yeah, so we became really, really close during that year because we were taking the same physics class with Mr. Phillips, which has been one of the best classes I've ever taken here. And yeah, we became really close. So,
well, you need to tell the listeners about Tate. They don't know.
Tate Tinker we're actually doing a podcast also right now. He's a friend of mine. He's also a prefect on Upper Haynes and captain of the lacrosse team. And he was a new boy, junior. Mm-hmm. So came to Woodbury last year.
Yeah, it's neat when you make new friends, new group coming in that you hadn't met before, and there you go with a new opportunity to make a good friend. I'm glad that you and Tate have gotten connected.
Yeah, we found a lot of things in common. And when I first met him, I was like, yeah, we have this and this in common. So we started hanging out, and now we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, that's neat. And you guys will remember that forever. Late in the junior year, listeners might be interested to know we appoint a prefect board for the next year. And so roughly a year ago this time, you were appointed a prefect. Tell our listeners a little bit about your experience with being a prefect, maybe the opportunity to go to Colorado, what you feel like you might have learned there, what your experiences might have been, what some of the challenges have been being a prefect. And I'll lay this up or preface this a little bit by saying that Mike is Woodbury's senior prefect this year, which is a tremendous responsibility, sometimes a big burden. It's also an honor, and he's handled it beautifully. I haven't combed through the history books to know for sure, but to me, at least in terms of what I know and what I can remember and what I've heard, Mike is the first international student to be elected senior prefect, and that's quite a distinction. So well done along those lines, Mike, but tell us a little bit about what it's been like to be a prefect.
I'll start by talking a little bit about Colorado. I think that the trip it's awesome, and it's really awesome that the school offers us the opportunity to go to a trip and really get to know the other prefects, get to know Dr. Holsey, really get to know the Dean of Students, because they're going to be with you throughout your whole year and helping you to solve problems. So I think that's really, really important. We also had a lot of fun in Colorado. We did hiking, we went on a rafting trip, we did mountain biking. We had a lot of fun, we had a blast.
And it's a phone-free trip, right?
Yeah, it's a phone-free trip, and that's awesome. Yesterday, I was talking with Mr. Rivera and Mr. Davis, and I was telling them that when I was 10 years old, 11 years old, all I wanted was a phone. Now that I look back to it, I'm really grateful for my parents for them to holding a little bit more, and because social media is so toxic nowadays, but yeah. Yeah, it's a phone-free trip. It was great. We really got to meet each other. At the trip, you get a little bit of training on how to be a prefect, how to handle honor situations, but also how to handle disciplinary moments that you might have on dorm, which are very, very common. So I think that trip does a really good job on preparing you for all the challenges that you might face. This year, being a prefect has definitely been one of the most challenging and most formative experiences of all my life. First of all, I mean, it has been a great honor being a prefect and senior prefect. In terms of disciplinary matters, I just like to tell my guys, I'm not gonna stick you if you're not in your room by 10:45, if it's like 10:47. I just want you guys to be good guys, to be good guys with the community, to be good between you guys, and we'll take care of the rest as time comes. We'll take care of the laundry room and make sure it's clean later. But for me, it was this year I always tell them, for me, the number one thing is for you guys to be good guys. That's all I care. But sophomores can be very creative from every now and then. So definitely, you also need to be able to lay the hammer a little bit and instill discipline in them, because they always come up with something. I remember one night, the other night, they really wanted to keep their phones because they had a trip next day. So they all came into my room singing.
Back up and tell the listeners what the policy is for third and fourth formers with phones.
They are supposed to turn their phones in. Well, they every single night from Monday to Friday, they have to turn their phone in. They can keep it on the weekend. And this is for them to enable them to sleep better. Don't be for them not to be on their phones all night. But they had a trip the next day. They were going to go see a play. They all came into my room in towels. I was like, what is going on? And they were singing, I don't know what song they were singing. So the whole hall came into my room and started singing, please, let's keep our phone. And I was like, you guys can keep it for this night.
Oh, like, that's good.
Trying to also be really, I like them to do their dorm duties, because I feel doing your dorm duties really reflects on how much you care for your community. Dorm duties are, let's say every single night, there's a guy for a week, there's a guy in charge of vacuuming the hall. There's a guy taking care of the laundry room. There's a guy in charge of the bathroom. So they all have to do that before checking in. every single night. And yeah, they've been generally pretty good about that.
Well, you know, the sophomore year at Woodbury, especially for old boy fourth formers, old boy sophomores, is a challenge because you're not new anymore, and yet you're not an upperclassman. One of my favorite alumni, Miller King, from the class of 2020, described fourth formers at Woodbury as JV seniors.
Totally. Yeah. That's a really accurate description.
Yeah, they think they're cool like seniors, but they're really just still JV.
Yeah. I agree.
I've always thought that's a very accurate description. What else about being a prefect? Tell our listeners a little bit about the honor system and how that works from your perspective, and what's been challenging and what's been good or not good about your experience with that, because you've got a lot of responsibility there as well.
Well, at Woodbury, we have an honor system in which I would say that the basis of it is to be a man of your word and don't lie to your community and really present yourself to the community as who you really are. And obviously, in the honor system, we have don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, because those are bad things to do and can really break the honor code. So as senior prefect, also with the vice senior prefect and the scribe, if there is ever an honor offense, we investigate the honor offense and decide if there should be an honor trial. And if we have an honor trial, if someone did an honorable offense, we listen to the person that is being accused, the teacher, and we vote on the outcome of the situation, and we give the recommendation to Dr. Holsey, and Dr. Holsey either accepts it or not. That's how the process works. It's a taxing process emotionally. It does take a toll on you going through the trials, investigating all of that. You want everything to be perfect. You don't want rules to be broken. You obviously don't want to dismiss anyone. You want things to be good, but you got to take care of the honor system because it's the basis for what Woodbury is, and it's an honor to do it. But emotionally, it has been a rough process. When things get rough, I always remind myself that I'm doing this for the greater good and for the community and for taking care of what Woodbury is.
Well, you've certainly done that at a high level. Would you say in general that Woodbury boys take the honor system seriously or not? Where are you on like your sense of how the community relates with the honor system, respects it, or maybe not as much as we would like?
I think that the Woodbury community generally does a really good job on respecting the honor code, because I can go and leave my bag on next to the vending machines and I know that it's going to be there for if I leave it there for 4 to 5 hours. And I know I can trust anyone in this community with a secret or something like that, and I know they're going to keep it. I know that Woodbury boys take care of each other, and that's really, really admirable. But sometimes I would say people, I mean, at the end of the day, people, if there's an honor trial, people love talking about it and all that. Really, the only people that know what was going on is the prefect board and the dean of students and the headmaster. So people always like to come up with opinions and talk about that and say, oh, but he did this, this, and this. And I always tell them, if you ever get the chance of becoming a prefect, you're going to see that it's never a black and white situation. It's always a gray, gray situation. Because, yes, on one hand, you have the honor code, but you always have to take into account other factors when you're in a trial, not just look at the offense and read the orange book, which every single prefect might interpret it as differently, and that is totally fine. That's why we have 18 prefects and not just one prefect taking care of all the decisions. So it's always a gray situation, I would say, and that's a pretty big misconception that people in the community have. But on the other hand, I like I said, I really think that people here take care of each other, trust each other, and that is probably the most valuable thing that we have here.
Well, I can speak on behalf of the faculty and the alumni to let you and your fellow prefects know that we all very much appreciate the fact that it's the boys who own the honor system, and we all benefit from it. But your commitment to it and your willingness to be the steward of it this year as a prefect is a commitment that we all benefit from. So thank you for that. Tell us a little bit about the college process. know that it had its ups and downs, its bumps along the way. Tell our listeners a little bit about how that went for you and where you're going next year and what you're excited about.
Well, it is a very exhausting process.
Just filling out the applications.
Yeah, filling out the applications, writing a ton of essays.
Yeah.
And all of that is very exhausting, and I would have rather be doing other things than writing essays and filling out applications, but it's something that you need to do. I think that generally Woodbury does a really good job in supporting you in your college process. Like, I've been talking with friends back at home, and they would ask me questions, and I was obviously help them because I know I have access to a really cool and really good infrastructure of support here. You have your advisor, you have teachers that help you with your essays. Your advisor is always checking on with you about, hey, how's the college process going? So generally, I think it's a hard process, but Woodbury really gives you a lot of support in order to make it easier. Next year, I'm gonna go to Rice University in Houston, Texas, and I'm gonna go with one of my best friends, Caden Sanchez. We're gonna room together, and I'm really excited about that.
Houston's a little closer to home than Woodbury.
Yeah. I was talking with my dad, and I was like, Dad, there are like 9 flights every single day to Mexico City. He was like, yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what you might be interested in studying?
I've always liked chemistry, so I've been thinking about doing chemical engineering, probably doing like another major in economics or business.
Mm-hmm.
And Rice is really good with allowing you to do multiple majors at the same time and having different topics in your studies at the same time. So yeah.
You think you're gonna have any fun down there?
Yeah, I think I will.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. I've been getting a lot into golf ultimately here at Woodbury. So, and they have a golf course and classes. So I'm thinking I'm gonna be taking classes. But it's also Houston, so there are a lot of things to do. When I was little, I used to go to Houston a lot with my grandma.
Yeah.
So I know the city pretty well. So yeah, I think I'm gonna have
a lot. It's a neat city. I can tell you for a fact that you're gonna find better Mexican food in Houston than you can in Orange.
Yeah.
I love the Tex-Mex in Texas, but in Houston it's really good.
It's really good.
Really, really, really good.
You went to UT, you know?
I went to the University of Texas in Austin for graduate school. Yeah, and love that.
Did you like UT more or UVA more?
You know, two totally different times of my life. You know, I have more friends from undergrad at UVA and some really special memories and good experiences. But I just loved Austin. I was in Austin for 6 years from 1992 to 98. I really enjoyed. I'm a native Texan, so I enjoy being back home in the state of Texas, and I think Austin's just a beautiful place and a fantastic city. I probably got more out of Austin than I got out of Charlottesville, but I got more out of UVA than I did out of the University of Texas in Austin. Had a really good, you know, experience in my academic department at UT in Austin, but it's a huge, huge institution, so you feel a little bit more like a number.
Yeah.
Than I did at UVA, but I loved it. I loved both of them. They were terrific. Mike, you have any questions for me that I can say anything that you've been wanting to know that you haven't asked me in our time together?
Yeah. What made you become a teacher?
What made me become a teacher? That's I think about that actually quite a bit. I wanted to become a teacher because of Woodbury. When I was here, I felt so much bigger than I had ever felt before I came. Like I mattered, like I was, like I had potential, like there were people believing in me. And besides my parents and a coach or two along the way, I just didn't feel that way as a kid from my teachers. And here at Woodbury, I just, my whole world opened up. And so I wanted to be a part of other kids' lives like my teachers and coaches were a part of my life here. That was the original motivation and inspiration. I come from a family of teachers. My dad was a priest and a bishop, and you know, we value the life of the mind and my family, and I've always wanted to be in the world of education. So that's kind of the history of that.
That's awesome. I've been in the podcast that Tate and I are doing for our senior distinction, which is seniors the last 4 weeks of school, instead of taking classes, you can work on a project that you really want to. And Tate and I have been working on a podcast in which we've been interviewing people from different classes. We've been interviewing teachers. The question that I always ask the teachers is, what made you want to become a teacher? And the common thing that I found is that they always have like this figure in their life, whether it is a specific teacher, it's always a specific teacher or a specific moment that really marked them. And they were like, I really want to become a teacher.
Yeah, I got that for sure here. I mean, there were people I looked up to that I admired greatly that I thought would be worth modeling my life after. And I definitely had that experience here as well.
How did you find out about Woodbury?
So I was living in Lubbock, Texas, though not quite as far away as Mexico City, but a long way from Orange. I was in ninth grade at a public school called McKenzie Junior High School, and big school. And I was doing well, but I didn't feel like I was being challenged very much. And so in the middle of in the fall of my ninth grade year, I went to my parents and asked if they thought I might go away to boarding school for 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. My poor mother was devastated. My dad was delighted. It was for him, it was like he's finally going to do something. He thought about me, I think. But anyhow, Virginia was kind of a natural choice because there are not very many boarding schools in Texas. Mm-hmm. And my dad had gone to Washington and Lee. Mm-hmm. And my mother had gone to Mary Baldwin, which is a small college for women. My dad also went to seminary right across the street in Alexandria from Episcopal High School. And so he knew all about EHS, and I ended up visiting Episcopal High School and VES, Virginia Episcopal School, in Lynchburg, both Episcopal schools. And because Woodbury was kind of in that same world of schools, we signed up to come here as well. I loved it here and my dad did too. The moment we stepped on campus, it felt like home. It felt like a place where I could become, so to speak, a little bit more of who I wanted to be or should be. And it's always been that way for me, but that's how I found Woodbury, really ironically, kind of through Episcopal High School.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it was always, I can't remember, I was looking to another school in Canada and Woodbury.
Yeah.
I was like, I really don't want to go to Canada. So it was just Woodbury. It was the option.
Yeah, well, we've loved having you at Woodbury. You've been a great credit to the Tiger Nation. You're an awesome guy and a terrific senior prefect, and you've done really, really well here. I can't let you go without asking you a couple of rapid-fire questions.
Please do.
Mike, what's your favorite meal in the dining hall?
Orange chicken. I love orange chicken. It's the best. We just had it the other night.
Yeah.
I had like three places.
Yeah. You did. Well, you got your tuition's worth.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that parents, when they look at the tuition bill at Woodbury, they don't really appreciate how much food their sons are going to eat.
Yeah.
And how much we're saving them from a food bill at home.
People here complain a lot about the food. That's something that pisses me off. People here complain a lot about the food. I was like, look at the dining hall we have, the facilities and all that. Like, don't complain.
Yeah, no. I Woodbury alumni from the 80s, when they come back and visit, they would agree with me. The food is so much better. We had a lot of mystery meat back in the day. Don't know what we were eating. Mike, so the orange chicken is your favorite meal in the dining hall. What about an order at the Fir Tree that you really like?
Whenever I go to the Fir Tree every single time, I don't like to order anything. I like to grab cereal. The cereal is the best thing ever. I like to sit down, talk with my friends, and just eat a good bowl of cereal. I love that.
And you're not paying any money.
I'm not paying any money.
Cereal's for free.
Yeah.
So you don't order anything.
No, it's always the cereal. It's always the cereal.
Well, I know in wrestling season, you can't go to the Fir Tree much anyway, so you want to stay out of there probably. Stay away from the shakes.
Whenever we would come back from a meet during Saturday or something, and we didn't have like a match on Tuesday, so I was like, I'll probably treat myself to something.
Treat yourself.
I would go and eat a bowl of cereal. Yeah,
well earned.
Yeah.
Well deserved. Your favorite place on campus?
There's a part of a running trail that I really like, and whenever I'm stressed or something, I always make sure I go through that. And I have a really good anecdote on that running trail. There was one time it was like 7 p.m. and I went out, so it was starting to get a little bit dark. And I remember I was just running. Out of the blue, a deer just comes out. The deer just stays on the path for like 20 seconds. I swear to God, he was staring at me in the eye. It was a magic moment. I don't know what was going on. And the deer just stares at me for 20 seconds and then just runs. Yeah. And then after that, I was like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
So I just started sprinting and sprinting and sprinting. And I don't know if it was my mind playing me games, but I heard like the footsteps of the deer next to me. And I was like listening to the footsteps. Like I've never ran any faster in my life. I was sprinting through the whole thing. But that moment, I always remember it and laugh about it. But yeah that running trail, I would say that's my favorite part in campus.
You like running by the river?
In the fields and next to the lake.
Yeah.
That's where I like to go.
That's a good spot down there.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, I was running on the Arrow Point back near Shacks Hill. It's a kind of a long road that kind of ends up at 15. And I could see off in the horizon right in front of me a black bear on the road. And I thought to myself, this is either a huge black dog or it's a bear. And I was actually kind of glad that it was a bear and not a big black dog.
Yeah.
But anyway, I backed up, got to a place that I could jump the fence in case it started coming after me. And I just stood there and waited. And finally, that bear ambled off. And when I crossed that spot, I was maybe not going quite as fast as you, but I was for an old man, I was going pretty fast. Needed to get out of there.
The adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah.
When you have adrenaline,
it kicks in. Yeah, for sure. Mike, I know from my own experience at Woodbury that it's often shaped by people. You've mentioned one of your best friends, Caden, a couple of times here. I'm sure some adults here at Woodbury probably shaped you and challenged you and formed you. Who would you say are some of the most important people in your life on the adult side here at Woodbury?
Everyone in this community has taken care of me. So every teacher, everyone has always been there for me. So I'm really grateful for that. But some people that have really had an impact on my Woodbury career, Coach Lillard, who was my wrestling coach, he always found a way to make me laugh during wrestling practice. He always took care of me on my lowest moments. He always made sure I was doing all right. Like I always say, it's really easy to be there with a person when they are happy and everything. But when a person is down and you pick them up, that's when you see the true character of the person who is picking you up. And I think Coach Lillard always did that for me, and I'm extremely grateful for that. Mr. Bullock has been a great influence on my Woodbury career. He was also a new teacher when I was a new boy. Mm. So I've always thought about us, our paths as very similar. We were both new. We have the same amount of time at Woodbury. And he has always also taken care of me. He's always checking on me. Oftentimes I go and take his dog, Beasley, on a walk. And I really appreciate the confidence for doing that. Other people that Coach Thorne has also had a great impact on my life. You, Dr. Holsey, Mr. Alexander, Mr. Stowers, Mr. Mills, Mrs. Six, and Mr. Jacobs. And I could keep naming them. The list goes on and on and on and on. But yeah, I would say those people had the biggest impact on my Woodbury career.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us on the Woodbury podcast. Really appreciate you being here today. And congratulations on a wonderful Woodbury career. Good luck finishing up the rest of the way. And good luck at Rice University. They're lucky to get you.
Thank you, Dr. Holzer.
Okay. Go Tigers.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Woodbury podcast. We hope you found our discussion insightful and engaging. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, rating, or leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Stay tuned for more conversations in the future. And remember, the conversation doesn't have to end here. Connect with us on Woodbury Forest School social media, reach out with your questions or comments, and let's keep the dialogue going. Until next time, take care and go Tigers!